This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Today we're talking about Nathaniel Tan's hunger strike. So it all started yesterday with details that Nathaniel shared on his Facebook.
Yeah, so this is actually happening in Tamantun, right round the corner from us in some ways. And Nathaniel is actually somebody that we've had on the show before, somebody who's been on the station. He's a columnist and strategic communications consultant. And as you mentioned, Sharmila, he put up on his Facebook page that essentially... this is his way of speaking up at a time when mass gatherings could put people at risk. So essentially, he's decided not to eat until five demands are met. And before we get into the demands, we're going to be hearing from Nathaniel shortly. But I wanted to say at the outset that it is important to point out that the demands are really very directly related to pandemic management and not at all political or not overtly political.
Yeah, and I think for me, besides the impact and the larger, I think the larger force of what he's actually doing, that struck out those demands, right? Because they're very specifically related to the problems that many people have been facing over the course of 1.5 years. They are, and they outline actually fairly specific things he talks about. So the five demands essentially are for decision-making powers regarding COVID-19 to be put in the hands of policy-making experts or to have an immediate parliamentary sitting. Second, he's asking for an immediate allocation of funds to hospitals for them to spend as they need. He's also asking for frontliners to be allowed to speak up without fear of reprisal, for the full list of companies that are allowed to operate under the MCO to be published, and finally, for free N95 masks and hand sanitizers to be provided at all hospitals and police stations.
So I think before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, hunger strikes are not new, right? They perhaps are less familiar to us here. But in his post, Nathaniel actually references Mahatma Gandhi, and that's probably one of the more famous ones. We've also seen hunger strikes taking place in Irish prisons. We've seen them taking place in Cuba, among other countries. And
Russia. Very commonly, yeah.
And they are, I suppose it's all in the name. It is, as we've described it, it's a more passive version in some ways of going on a strike. You're not, you know, necessarily hitting the streets and picketing. Instead, you are just saying, this is what I can do in this moment of time, which is, again, exactly what he said as well.
More specifically, hunger strikes are always associated with that term, nonviolent protest, mm-hmm. right? And this specifically, I think, comes from the fact that at this point, a lot of the types of protest or speaking up isn't really easy or possible. And that takes a lot of pains in his post to talk about how he doesn't want to put other people at risk, that him putting forth these demands are about putting himself on the line and not anyone else, which I think is an important thing to point out at the time of the pandemic. That said, you know, the kind of response that he's been getting, because that Facebook post has been shared so many times. The last I checked, the Facebook post alone was shared about 450 times, has 1,500 over comments on Twitter, on Instagram. Lots of people are sharing it. And to no small surprise, I think the feedback has been both tremendously showing a lot of solidarity, but at the same time, I think a fair amount of, if not direct criticism, a questioning of why would you do this?
So the thing about hunger strikes, I think, is that they invoke a very specific sense of discomfort, because really what you're watching is somebody put their bodies under intense stress. And in some cases, so for example, with Mahatma Gandhi, part of the reason why there was a relenting in the end was simply because they were unwilling to let such a famous person die in prison under their watch. And that was one of the reasons why it worked out the way it did. But I bring that up specifically to say that that is always the ultimate fear that lies at the end of a hunger strike, is the worry that you are going to watch somebody put their body through the ringer and to its very absolute limits. And I think for those of us who are put in the position of viewing it, right? Of getting updates, of worrying, of wondering. This is always the discomfort. And I think part of the reaction stems from that discomfort of, why are you doing this? Why would you, you know, why would you put yourself through this? What point do you think this is making? And I guess the point in and of itself is the attention that the demands get, which would not otherwise have had the same kind of focus if instead it was just a Twitter thread, for example, that was put out and someone saying, listen, this is what I want, with no form of action attached to it.
And ultimately, what it says about an authority or a government or a society that would not act in a situation like this, because that's the other push and pull of something like this, right? Sadly, the ultimate end, if these sorts of demands are not met, when a person cannot survive without eating for more than, I say, about 6 to 8 weeks. And so I think there's an almost, you say force, but actually it's, again, that term nonviolent. It's a way to make a point known very, very strongly, to literally put your life on the line and to ask, well, are you going to listen to me? And I think that that's both a powerful, but that word you used, uncomfortable. Yes, it's both of those things. So we're talking about a hunger strike that Nathaniel Tan has undertaken to demand for 5 very specific efforts to be fulfilled by the government in relation to the pandemic. We will be speaking to Nathaniel shortly, but we'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about this form of protest? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll be speaking with Nathaniel Tan, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're looking at a hunger strike that's being undertaken by Nathaniel Tan. He's a columnist, a strategic communications consultant, and he's doing this with 5 specific demands in mind for change when it comes to the way the country is managing the pandemic. We will be speaking to Nathaniel shortly, but we'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about this form of protest? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We now have on the line with us Nathaniel himself. Hi, Nathaniel. Thank you for joining us today. Firstly, it is the second day of your hunger strike. How are you doing so far?
I'm okay, thank you. Hanging in there.
And I guess we wanted to find out the question that's on a lot of people's minds, right? What led you to go on a hunger strike? Why this form of protest?
I think we're living in really abnormal times, and abnormal times require abnormal actions. You know, I think it's insane to act sane in a time of insanity. I think people, and especially our leaders, are not treating the COVID crisis nearly as seriously as they should be. You know, they're really not aware about, I mean, they're not acting as if this is as urgent a crisis as it is. So I think, you know, I've had enough of talking, I've had enough of statements, discussions, WhatsApp groups, blah, blah, blah. It's time for action. Yeah.
Nathaniel, you've listed 5 demands as the aim of your strike. Could you walk us through them?
Okay. The first one is about replacing, making sure that public policy experts are the final decision makers when it comes to fighting COVID. You know, we don't, you know, we've had politicians, we've had bureaucrats, and, you know, I feel like they're really not doing the right job. Like, we've had ministries working against one another in silos and things like that. So I think this is costing lives, it's costing Malaysian lives. So we need either one or a set of public policy experts who understand how dire the situation is and who are willing and able to act with the urgency that the crisis requires. That's number one. Number two is about medical equipment and aid, capacity of hospitals and things like that. You know, I mean, I've heard that there's a big chunk of money allocated, but I don't know where that money is going or what people are doing with it. We know, I work with, we're familiar with NGOs who are getting requests directly from doctors in COVID hospital wards, you know, and when they make those requests, the hospital pengarah or something say, hey, don't tell other people, you have to save our face, save our face. This is not a time to save face. This is a time to be all out, all hands on deck, war on COVID, right? With no time for bureaucracy, for saving face and all this nonsense, we need the equipment to go straight to the COVID wards immediately. And if the NGOs can raise millions of ringgit to do it, you know, I think there's clearly a need, and there's more that needs to be done. The third is about the truth. You know, the finalists should also be able to tell us the truth of what's happening freely without a fear of repercussions. You know, they have to tell us the truth of what. I think if people knew what's really happening in the COVID wards, they'd be absolutely terrified, right? And also the data and statistics for COVID also need to be put out without filtration or censorship. The fourth is to publish the list of companies that are being allowed to operate and why they're allowed to operate. You know, I'm standing here in front of like Taman Tun, it's full of cars as if there's no MCO whatsoever. So something is wrong there. Employers forcing employees to work in the office when they can work from home. And number five is N95 masks and sanitizers for all hospitals and police stations for free. You know, this is a basic thing for people who are sacrificing so much for us.
And in some ways, what's striking about these demands is that they're not overtly directed at political change, but rather specifically focused on pandemic management. What was the thinking behind this?
Well, I mean, you know, I think I personally don't want to get too obsessed about political change. If tomorrow Muhyiddin is able to meet all these five demands, no, I'm more than happy to. I mean, then great lah, good, all well and good. But if he's not, if he's not able to, then he should, you know, get out of the way and let somebody else who is able to make these changes.
And what happens if these demands aren't met? What do you plan to do next?
I mean, you know, with these mass meds and all, the sort of like the closest to the point of what we're trying to do is try to like convince people that there is a lot of action that they can take. You know, we Malaysians feel quite hopeless, quite helpless, in a lot of despair, and they feel like you know, there's nothing we can do. We're conditioned to think that there's nothing we can do about this. But I think this is a myth, a very, very dangerous myth, you know. And I think this is the myth that I really wish we can smash, right? And convince people that, you know, there's a lot of actions that we can take, a lot of actions that can make a difference, you know. And this is just one example. There are many other things that people can do. Sorry, there are police here, I think. Are we able to continue this later? Hold on, just one second. Minta maaf, abang, interview sekejap. Saya boleh 5 minit habis. Masih ya? Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll make this quick then. So a hunger strike does demand a lot from you physically. How are you taking care of yourself while doing this?
I'm okay, like drinking lots of water, fluids, and I think it's according to the science, so far, just hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. Sleeping is a bit difficult, a bit uncomfortable, but yeah, doing my best. There are people who undergo much worse, like, so yeah.
Nat, this isn't the easiest question to ask, but how far do you plan to take the strike?
Can't. I mean, as far as I can, I think it's a short answer. It's the only answer I can give. I take a day at a time.
And what have you heard from the authorities so far?
The police standing in front of me right now. So after this interview, I have to go and talk to them. But just now, the Taman Tun police officer in charge of the station came by. He's a very nice guy. He's very professional and very supportive and friendly. But yeah, I've been answering questions from police for a long time. And after this interview, I'll go right back to it.
Now, your social media posts on the strike have gone viral. What are some of the responses you've been getting there?
I haven't seen them all. So sorry, people who I would love to thank everyone in person, but it's just been crazy hectic. You know, but most of they've been supportive, and I really, really appreciate the support. And you know, I hope that, and I think some people are talking about how they want to take action of their own, and that to me is the most important thing. Yeah.
Just briefly, we've seen those messages of solidarity, but I think there have also been others saying that, well, you know, efforts like this, what can they achieve? What is your response to this?
I mean, everyone is entitled to their opinion, you know, and if they are doing efforts that they think are going to achieve something, well and good.
What would you like to leave us with?
Like I said, I really hope that people can believe in the rakyat's power to make change, you know, and believe that it's not normal to act normal. I mean, I understand that everybody wants to lead a normal life. Everyone wants things to go back to normal. But this kind of like denial is not healthy. We have to be aware of how bad the situation is. You know, Dr. Amar Singh wrote a projection of the COVID cases. Basically, a lot of other states are going to be just as bad as the Klang Valley. This will be a disaster. Tens of thousands of Malaysians' lives will be lost if we don't take drastic interventions right here, right now.
Nat, thanks for joining us today. That was Nathaniel Tan. He's a columnist and a strategic communications consultant. He's also currently on a hunger strike to demand change, five specific demands, all related to pandemic management. We'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about this form of protest? call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We already have a number of messages coming in. Let's just have a look at one.
So MZ says, while I respect Nathaniel for doing this, ultimately it's a form of protest, which in some ways is passive. If anyone wants to make a difference, be more active. Active in the sense of distributing food aid, get funds to buy items demanded, etc. Some people say it's for show. Who knows? Bless his heart and his initiative. But whether it makes a difference remains to be seen. And MZ, I think that's an interesting and also quite commonly held point of view, right? This idea of take action rather than stay passive. But I think there is, or rather, if we think about the different forms of aid or the different forms of action that are currently required, what Nathaniel's highlighting are actually more institutional or systemic changes, right? Because while we could raise funds, yes, to buy oxygen and to buy PPEs, for example, the amount that he's stating, 500 million to go directly to hospitals, that, I mean, I love us all. And, you know, I think that the Rakyat has done amazing things. I'm not sure that we are raising that in the short term to go immediately to hospitals for them to spend as they wish. And so I think some of his demands are more specifically, you know, they need to be met by the government. We also can't change whoever's in charge of the pandemic management through small actions.
And I've seen this come up a number of times as we talk about Rakyat Jaga Rakyat or Kita Jaga Kita, right? That it shouldn't have to come to this. That it's great that Malaysians are so caring and there's so many people doing such good work, but it shouldn't fall on us to provide people with this sort of a safety net. And ultimately, that safety net will also only stretch so far. So, yeah, I do agree. And I see where you're coming from, MZ. And really, it's a concern that a lot of people have pointed out. But I think that there can be different ways of making a point.
That and also if this inspires you to take active steps, then that also works.
Yes, completely agree. Keep those thoughts coming. What do you think of this form of protest, specifically a hunger strike that Nathaniel Tan is currently undertaking? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.